With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Rocketing in with us is the voice of the Carolina Panthers, Mick Mixon. Good enough to give us a couple of minutes insight tonight. Mick, it's Mick and Mac here. Mick, thanks for jumping on board. Appreciate you joining.
I'm a fan. I like your accent, and so it's fun to talk to you. And I've got a feeling we're going to talk about this NFC South clash, but I'm a lot older than you, so CBS radio means a lot to me. I go back to Win Elliott, some of the great old CBS radio days. So it's an honor to talk to you.
It is our pleasure. That's CBS out of New York. I know Mr. Elliott, yes, and you might be older than me, but not that much older than me. But we appreciate your appreciating the Philly accent as a Philly guy yourself. Do want to start about the but before I even start with the Carolina and New Orleans matchup, I know you'd like to be prepping to be doing a game this weekend. How's your first couple of weeks of downtime been on you?
It's been great. I got a honey-do list about a city block long, and I'm doing it. But I'm trying to keep up with NFL football, of course, and with Panther football, my primary employer. We just hired a new general manager. We got a very magnetic, charismatic coach in Matt Rhule. So, in the words of Robbie Anderson, if Matt Rhule was a stock, you should buy all of it that you can.
Understood. And I do want to ask a couple of Panther questions. But I do want to start with the playoff conversation. Your squad did get to meet the Saints and the Bucks four times this year. We kind of move quickly past the fact that you went 0-4 in those four games. But you did have a couple of games where you played them competitively and an up-close and personal look at them. Of course, you got Brady against Breeze, but even more so, it's the Saints against the Bucs. You didn't see a ton of them. You didn't see them both late in the season, but you had a chance to keep an eye on both teams all year. Does it matter who's playing best late between these two teams in your estimation?
I don't think so. I think that, number one, Tampa Bay has gone out, and it may work, but they've gone out, Jody, and they've bought all the high Q rating guys. It's almost as if they're trying to buy a championship and get the, and it's kind of like a modular home. You know, they got this home that's been brought in and trailered in and landscaped. Everything looks great, but is it built to last? I think they're just a little more fragile than the Saints. I think the Saints are built on solid footings. They make offensive football look ridiculously easy. They're very salty this year on D, particularly from the back end moving up. They'll come up and thump you. So I don't know. I got the Saints. I don't really predict, but I've got the Saints and the Bills in the Super Bowl, and I think New Orleans is going to beat Tampa Bay. I don't even think it's going to be that close.
Ooh, well, they did play twice this year, and you were busy calling other games at the time on those weeks, unless it happened on your one bye week during the year. But the Saints beat them, I would call it easily the first time, first game of the season, and then pretty handily again in the middle of the season, like blowout city. Do you believe that the third time is the toughest time when a team's already beaten a team twice in a season? I've never quite understood that, and I don't buy into it, that trying to beat a team three times is hard. If you beat them twice already, why can't you beat them a third time? That's why the Saints are the favorite in this game, are they not?
I'm so just overjoyed, delighted to hear you say that. I feel like there's intelligent life on the radio somewhere now because of what you just said. This asinine concept that, oh, hey now. I mean, it reminds me of, oh, hey, teams that start 0-2 only have a 16% chance of making the playoffs. Well, of course, a lot of those teams aren't very good anyway. just let it play out. And so wouldn't you rather be the team? Like, why aren't we talking about how the Saints might have Tampa Bay's number? Why is it so easy to try to hope that this weak conversational crutch will support our weight to say, oh, the third time's the hardest, when it will not? I mean, it's hard to beat a team three times in a season in the NFL because it's hard to beat a team one time in the NFL.
Try and either define it or explain it, what you just said, because I think it's on point, but need to give the listeners a little bit more of a definition here. They have their number. Sure, it looked like that to me when the Saints beat them twice during the regular season. How does something like that come about? How do you go about achieving that? And if you're on the wrong end of it, the Bucks, how do you go about solving when another team has your number?
I think for both teams, they have to be careful that they don't play the first. They don't try to play the same game twice. So, I mean, Tampa Bay's good. They're talented. I mean, they got a crew now, so they could. It could go their way, but I just think that the Sean Payton, Drew Brees, that tandem, it should be illegal that the head coach and the quarterback, offensive savant head coach, and a quarterback that's thrown for almost as many yards as the entire Carolina Panther franchise in history, also get together at each other's houses and grill out hamburgers and talk life its own self and talk football. They're just not like other teams. I mean, third down and 14, third down and 7, third down and 9, fourth and 3. They have this pulse rate of about 50, and they're just hard to deal with. So I think that's going to be their honey hole is their offense against Tampa Bay's D.
We're talking to Mick Mixon, the play-by-play voice. Carolina Panthers saw plenty of the Saints and the Bucks this year playing in that division, and we're getting his insight as to both of these two teams heading into their divisional matchup tomorrow in the playoffs. You mentioned the relationship between Brees and Payton, and I'm a big Sean Payton fan, but I do like Bruce Arians as well. Payton certainly a little bit more playoff experience, but isn't like this is Arians' first rodeo. Is there a coaching advantage in this game in your estimation?
I think so. I mean, and it's hard not to like Bruce Arians, and his resume needs really no further edification. But they just seem like they look like one of those reality TV shows, like the 600-pound housewives of some distant city, where they could start bickering, and Antonio Brown could melt down. Bruce Arians criticizing Tom Brady, and they have a little bit of a diva component to their locker room, it seems, that the Saints do not have. And there have been teams that have bickered their way to championships. I'm thinking of the bad boy Detroit Pistons. You seem like you might be old enough to remember that, so that makes me happy as well. But I don't know. I just think that from a chemistry standpoint, I really think the Bills are going to win the championship. I think this is Buffalo's moment in time, but I think that they're going to have to beat the Saints to do it.
Okay, so we know which way you're leaning tomorrow. While we got you, I do want to ask you a couple Panther questions. You mentioned the new general manager that they just hired this week, Scott Fitterer, formerly of the Seahawks. Give us your take on how his personality fits into what Matt Rhule has put down there in a year of roster building moving forward. How are those two guys going to be able to work hand-in-hand taking the Panthers to the next level?
I don't have any access, so I wish I could tell you about his personality. It's we're all COVID, you know, embargoed down here, Jody. With ordinarily there would have been a press conference or a dinner or something where we could get closer to him. I've read about him, and he's been with the Seahawks since 2001, and he seems like he's got the eval chops, the scouting resume. I could not believe how thorough the search was. The Panthers interviewed about 15 people, and the list was very diverse, younger, older, had some cultural diversity to it. And so David Tepper knows exactly what he wants. He wants somebody that has one foot in the old school toughness. You know, it's a Spartan game football. So someone who gets that. And then also a GM who's got that modern performance analytics, the performance psychology, diet, nutrition, exercise, recovery, stretching, all that. And I think that the Panthers have checked a lot of boxes with this hire.
It seems that way to me as well. But while you add, sometimes you're forced to subtract. And I don't know if that's going to be the case in a couple of the jobs I've filled. But we know Joe Brady, the outstanding young offensive coordinator that Coach Rule brought in last year from LSU, has already merited a couple of head coaching meetings and at least appointments. Hasn't gotten a job yet, but there are still some spots opening. How big a loss would that be to Panthers if Brady would just became a quick one-and-done type guy in Carolina?
Brady's going to run one day, no doubt. I mean, he's what everybody's looking for, Jody. He's got that creative intelligence, natural-born play caller, has the modern, you know, that kind of Saints offense where the route combinations, the option routes, how they'll rub off of you and get guys open. It's a lot of personnel groupings. I mean, you should see the Panthers play. Almost every single play, offense and defense, we substitute like a revolving door at Kimball's or Macy's or some, trying to think of some old Philadelphia downtown department store. But anyway, that the way Joe Brady uses his people, it keeps defenses very much having to be dieseled up and aware and ready. So yeah, I think Joe Brady's going to be. I'm selfish and I don't mind telling you, I'm a little grabby. I don't speak for the entire Panther franchise, but I'm the one who's on your show. So right. I would tell the rest of the league, leave us alone. Leave Joe Brady alone. He's not ready. He's like Opie Taylor. With a clipboard, he's way too young. So let us win a couple of championships, then you can interview our staff.
We're talking to Mick Mixon, play-by-play voice of the Carolina Panthers here. Just a couple more Panther questions, then I'll let you run. I am a Matt Rhule fan. My daughter is a Temple alum, so I have been loyal to the coach since his days up on Broad Street in Philly and watched and rooted for him this year, his first year in Carolina. Damn if you guys didn't hang in almost every single game. It seemed like you had a puncher's chance going into the last 7.5 minutes of every single week, but you just couldn't finish. It seemed like the second half of the fourth quarter, things would go awry or you'd come up just short. I said you don't like playing Carolina, but you didn't finish off and win games. Number one, do you agree with my estimation? And number two, what's the modus operandi to get that out of the mix next year and find a way to win some of those games in the fourth quarter?
I agree with the premise of your question wholeheartedly. This was one of my favorite teams. I've been working with the Panthers since 2005, and you know when we win down here, it's splashy. When we don't, it's no fun, but this is about one of my favorite teams here that I've ever covered. This team with no training camp, with no preseason games, with a new coach, with a new staff, with virtual meetings. I mean, the fact that we were even able to clap as one and get out of the huddle and run a play, I mean, it was amazing. And so for the esprit de corps, the hang in there factor, this team had a lot of heart. And so now, so we got that. So now that will – the whole buy-in thing. I mean, Matt Rhule is special, Jody. I mean, he could sell your own shoes back to you, and you would think you've gotten a good deal. And so now what we need is a couple of more drafts and or maybe one more draft, a couple more good free agent signings. And I think that the filter we got to run all this through is Teddy Bridgewater and the Panthers were 0-8 in these one possession games. But think of all the good football, the expectations Carolina had to exceed in order to be in these games, in order to have that 20-foot birdie putt on 18 to win it. We didn't make any enough of them, but we had to hit a lot of good shots just to get into that position.
All right. I think you're going to probably agree with me on this one. I'll state my opinion, and you can either confirm or deny. If I were to tell Coach Rhule that the next Alvin Kamara or Alvin Kamara Light coming out of the college draft this year might be a kid by the name of Michael Carter playing at UNC, I know as a former Tar Heel, you probably have an opinion on Mr. Carter. If you agree that he could be a day two or a day three draft, kind of like Kamara, who comes in and grabs a top running back slot in the NFL pretty damn quickly in his career, will you be advising Matt Rhule that that might be, or your new general manager, when you finally do get a chance to talk to him, that that might be a player they should have an eye on in the draft this year?
I try not to coach the team from the press box, like I said earlier, but I don't know. You know, we already have Christian McCaffrey, and McCaffrey didn't play in a win this year. He only played in, I think, three games this year. He had an injury year. So I'm not saying that we couldn't need some more juice on the offensive side of the ball, but I don't know. Maybe I will venture out there, but if it doesn't go well, if the new GM gets mad at me, then I'm back on your doorstep. Maybe I'll
that's
be your
okay. You can put it. You can put it on my doorstep to begin with. This Jody McDonald guy on CBS Sports Radio told me Michael Carter is the next Alvin Kamara, just in case McCaffrey has as many injuries next year as he did this year. It'd be nice to have a guy like Carter to step in and fill the void. Last thing, just very appreciative of you coming on. Didn't know we'd be able to get you on a Saturday night. I guess the Franklin Street Band and or Mick and the Ultras didn't have a gig tonight. Any of your side work didn't pop your way tonight?
No, you're very kind to mention that. I love music. I play drums about my whole life, and I'm the original drummer of the band Break Wind and Fire. And Break Wind and Fire, we burst across the music scene pretty suddenly back in the 90s, but then dissipated. But my other bands, we shut them down. My wife is the lead singer in the Franklin Street Band, but we hadn't played in a while with life being so busy and that kind of thing. But I'm married to the most soulful 5-foot-tall woman in the world, and I'm going to get her to sing me a song as soon as we hang up.
Very nice. Tell her we could only wish to hear the rendition of whatever she does for you. Appreciate a couple minutes of your time here to Mick tonight, Mick. Enjoy the game tomorrow, and we'll get you on next year when the season rolls around again.
Sounds good, Jody Mac. Best to you, man.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.